The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Hope you enjoy this episode of The Drop. If you like these podcasts and all the other content we create, head on over to our websites and purchase merch. Purchasing merch keeps us going and creating more content. Our websites are grinder-tv.com and livelifecustom.com. We really appreciate it. Now on to the episode.
We're there, look.
Yeah.
We're talking.
Check. I think it's good. Yeah. All right. Well, here we are. An in-person episode. Before we get started, we really get in the weeds.
Yeah.
I talk about this shirt I'm wearing. I'm wearing the new Drop shirt.
Oh, yeah.
I took this for a little cruise today. Took it for a ride. This is on the Comfort Color shirts.
Yeah.
I like them.
Yeah?
Yeah. All yeah. Right. I was in... I printed these, and I printed one of my designs just on it because I had an extra one, and I hadn't tested it out yet. Like, really gave it a good, you know, test drive.
Yeah.
But I like them. They're cool.
Yeah.
The only thing that I don't like is what I pointed out earlier is they're like a little gray washed. Is that a good way to say it?
Yeah, they're not like sure. black.
Like, yeah,
like they're not like true black.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I need to get one. I'm probably going to wear it on Saturday.
Okay.
Or my new shirt. I have a new shirt, but this one will be on the website, grinder-tv.com or thegoodlife.com. And if you go on the main page, you click drop. We're going to have those. And the other ones we still have, heavily discounted.
Heavily discounted.
So buy two. Buy drop and the other one. And then that's gas money that we need for going to Cruise to the Pines this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And that's why I'm out here. It's Cruise to the Pines weekend. It's Thursday. We're heading out Friday tomorrow to do the cruise and head up. Which I actually was not anticipating the whole time, but it just kind of, it's going to work out pretty good.
First time in the years that we've done Cruise of the Pines together and then just me, I've never gone up the night before.
Yeah. Well, because this is a new thing altogether.
It is. It's a new thing they're doing. They've always done the early morning cruise on Saturday and you get to the show, but it seems like as years have gone by, the cruise part of Cruise to the Pines became less of a thing, and the show part became more of the thing.
Right, yeah.
And
do you remember that one time we were heading up and we got stuck in that, and what's the name of that little town?
Congress?
Congress, that's right.
And there was a parade.
And there was a parade, and we got stuck for like an hour.
Yeah, so and then as vendors, we didn't get there till like 10:30. By the time we get set up, it's 11:30, and then the show's over at 4.
Yeah, that was a wild day.
It was a wild day. So like now going up, doing the cruise Friday morning, we're spending all day in Prescott.
Yeah.
Prescott, whatever, however you want to say
it. It's Prescott, man.
It's Prescott.
It's Prescott. Get over it.
The story, you know the story goes on that, right? So that's how they differentiate locals from tourists.
Oh, Arizonans.
Like local Prescott people from non-Prescott people.
Okay.
Because so many people were moving into the town, apparently. They kind of like, if you said Prescott, they knew right away you weren't from there.
You're not from around
here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, so most people here in Arizona call it Prescott. I'm not from Arizona, so I call it Prescott.
Yep.
And if I was from Arizona, I would still call it Prescott because it's not Prescott.
Yeah. It's because it's C-O-T-T, right?
Yeah. Prescott. I would be calling, hey, I want 2 pounds of Briscott. No, it's brisket.
It's brisket.
Why are Briscott? It's not Briscott. Let's just call it what it is.
I'll take 2 pounds of Briscott, please. They're like, what?
Yeah.
But no, yeah, super excited about that. I drove the Tacoma out. I'll tell everybody about my adventure.
So now are you going to tell me about your adventure now? Or are you going to wait till your video drops? Then we talk about it.
I think we're going to talk about it now.
Okay.
Because I'm not really talking about it in the video. And I know I should. Like, I know I should. I should have, like, started. And this is why it's really nice when Angie's with me. Because her intuition is pull the camera out and start filming.
Yeah. Well, it's hard because now you going down this new adventure of yours.
Mm-hmm.
From your truck being stock. From your truck. All this new thing you're doing. It's I still learn from it. I'm like, oh, I should have recorded that. Oh, I didn't need to record that. Oh, this. Oh, that. It's like. Your brain, it's like, I don't know what to record.
Well, especially like, you know me and how my anxiety is and how I am. Like, I'm so wrapped up in the moment of what's happening that I really don't think about that part.
Yeah.
You know, until like everything started calming down, then I was like, oh yeah, that would have been really good content. Even seeing me in that moment freaked out. Like it would have been good content because I could have been like, you know, this is what's happening. I'm on the side of the road. Let me explain what happened.
Yeah. Because there comes a time when you're recording yourself as yourself being the content.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some things you just don't want to record.
Yeah. Because in the moment I'm like, not panic. Oh yeah, I guess panic.
Yeah. But you don't want like,
I don't want to like put myself out there like that.
Yeah. But it also, it's the truest form of the content.
And there have been, and the reason I say it's always nice when Angie's with me and that happens, there have been many times when Angie, something's happening, Angie will whip out the camera and she'll say, okay, tell me what's going on. And even then I'm like, no, I don't want to talk about it. No,
but later.
But then later when everything's calmed down, I'm at the other end editing. I'm all, this is great.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's the thing that you have to tell yourself always, no matter what it is, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know why it's going to be okay? Because it has to be okay.
I like that saying.
It has to be okay.
Yeah.
Even if there was a catastrophic failure, we've talked about it with the Titan.
Yeah.
We've talked about it with everything. And the most catastrophic failure we ever had was your trailer.
Yeah.
Second, Doug's trailer was way more catastrophic.
Yeah, that was. Yeah.
So
was
if weird. We include that, but even that, like, that was the most catastrophic thing that we've ever had happen on a trip that basically. It's always been Doug. It was Doug's truck and then Doug's trailer. Sorry, Doug. I know you're listening to this.
I know.
He's yeah, you should get better stuff, dude.
How dare you get a truck that I accidentally put gas in?
Oh, that one too. The three times.
You weren't talking about.
No. There was the time in El Paso.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yep. Three.
And
the
gas and then the trailer.
The trailer, yeah. So gas.
So actually, if we just don't include Doug in this stuff, everything works out fine.
Yeah. Doug's, his truck in El Paso was probably the absolute worst.
Yeah.
Like the trailer was bad and it was a thing, but at least that trip was completed. Like the truck.
Well,
in
Doug
El Paso,
still completed his trip. We just,
oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
But that's a different,
that's subject. A different, maybe when Doug comes back on, he can explain all that. No, but let me tell you about what happened to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happened to me? I brought the Tacoma out. It's my first really, I mean, I did buy it in Sacramento, so I did drive it from Sacramento to SoCal. That's a 7-hour journey, and zero problems, nothing at all. This is the first truck thing that I've done with it, and I brought it out here for the show. I loaded up my booth in the back, which I was so super stoked on. My entire 10x20 booth with all of my designs fit in the back of the truck, so I was really excited about that. That'll be in the video. So the hopefully the video will be out sooner than later. I know it's not coming out right now. It doesn't matter. No, this is coming out Monday, so it 100% is not going to. So probably next week, maybe. Anyway, so I'm super stoked. I'm filming all that stuff. Everything's going good. Well, a couple weeks prior to that, I was like, I've talked about this guy a lot, and that's the Car Care Nut on YouTube. He is a Toyota guy, Toyota mechanic, Toyota certified master mechanic, and he knows everything about Toyotas.
Yeah.
So I watched a video on how to make your Toyota go 500,000 miles. Watched the whole video. He says, you know, obviously regular oil changes. Coolant flushes and transmission services every 100,000 miles. So I'm like, okay, yeah, no problem. I got my mechanic, has 116,000 miles on it. I have to assume it's never been serviced. I'm going to go service it. So I take it to my mechanic. He services the transmission. He fixes a rear brake problem that it was having. Everything's cool. I get in that thing, man. That from leaving my house to where the problem began was the best time of my life, man. I'm just cruising. The truck's doing 75, 80, air conditioning, music, just flying. It's the best. And so I was going down the 10, and I think someone dropped some, what I vaguely remember being is like 12-foot lengths of PVC pipe, like irrigation pipe. And so, and what was also funny is right next to me was one of those caravans with those, like when people buy like all the Toyota trucks and cars and they take them down to Central America and stuff, mm-hmm. and they like have a chain of them. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those. It was two RAV4s. It was like an okay RAV4 and a just destroyed RAV4 behind it being pulled. So that guy hits the stuff first. He gets some stuff stuck under his car. I hit it, but I don't hear any big boom. Like I don't hear anything bad. So I see him. He's trying to get off the freeway. He has a piece stuck. I'm like, the responsible thing to do is stop and take a look at this thing. So that's what I do. I get off the freeway. And my first main concern was like, what about if it popped up and punctured the tank? So my first concern is like, am I just dumping fuel out? So I get out. I look under it. I'm looking at the fuel tank. I'm like, it's not leaking gas. That's good. but why is it all wet with oil? And then I go like this, and I see just the transmission dumping fluid. I'm like, oh my God. So I'm like, it was actually like a multi-step process too, because like I get under it. I acknowledge the problem. The transmission's leaking, but it's just like, it's not pouring. So I know it's not, wasn't punctured by one of those things. So it's not pouring. It's just wet. It's all wet with a couple drops coming off of it. And I'm like, okay. Okay. And then I thought back to the Titan way, all those years ago, I thought back to the Titan. That was they reused the crush washer on the drain plug. And so it was just leaking out of there. And I tried to tell myself like, well, you know, when fluid is underneath the truck, it looks way worse than it actually is. Like a few drops can look just catastrophic, right? So okay, tell myself that. Get back in the truck, drive a few more. I'm like, I should really try to figure out where it's coming from. So I go a few more exits, I pull off, and then by this time I'm really starting to notice that it is actually coming out like in a decent amount, not pouring, but a decent amount. So I'm like, okay, I gotta try to call my mechanic. Maybe, you know, see what, because like, you know, I was like kind of thinking about like, it's like one of those things where someone takes their car to a mechanic and it's like, hey man, you changed my brakes and now it's getting hot. Like it's overheating.
Yeah, it has
you
nothing know? To do.
It has nothing to do that. But this, like, I just had the transmission service. So there's a direct correlation, right? Are you recording?
Yep.
Okay. So I call my mechanic. He ghosts me on my first call. So I send him a message. I'm like, hey, look, sorry to bother you, but I'm having a bit of an emergency. And then like I called you and then I was telling you what's going on. And then he called me. Oh, my God, I gotta go. The mechanic's calling me. So I'm driving and I explain the situation. And he's like, So I won't go to the specifics of what he said, but he's all like, you know, it's probably not bad. So I said, okay. So then he's all, oh, you know, that's what it was. He's all, well, where's it coming from? And I said, actually, I don't know. I said, let me pull over again. So I pull over again. And this time the sun's going down, like it's getting darker. And I'm like looking at the transmission with my phone. And then I call him back. I said, I think it's coming from a vent on top of the transmission. And he goes, can you take a picture of it? And I'm like, I think I can. So I try. And it's obviously the transmission is like boiling hot. Like everything's hot. And I'm like burning my hand, like burnt my hand on this thing. And I'm just burning everything. And I'm like trying to get a photo of this like little vent on top. And I don't get it. I try to FaceTime him, but I explain what it is. And I guess like, so what he was saying is like, oh, well, maybe the transmission, like, cause I was going up hills. And then I showed him all the stuff in the bed, and he's like, oh, you know, maybe that's a lot of weight in the back. Maybe you're like, maybe it's getting, the transmission is getting hot going up the hills, and maybe it's just puking out, you know, cause it's getting hot. And I was like, okay. So then this is out in between like, this is actually, I had just passed the Scirocco, what's that thing called? The Scirocco Summit thing. So I just passed that. So I went from the Scirocco Summit to Quartzsite, I probably stopped about 2-3 more times, really like, you know, trying to figure stuff out. So I finally get to Quartzsite and, I get to Pilot. I finally am under some light. I pull the dipstick and the fluid, like, and the list, I don't know, people listening can't hear. So there's basically two hash marks for the hot. It is like 3 inches above that, like full. And that's what I had kind of thought, like, did they overfill this transmission, you know? So then I hit up the mechanic and I was like, hey, could it be a possibility maybe it was overfilled? And I don't think he's going to admit that, you know? But he's like, oh, I'm like, okay. So then I drive from Quartzsite to here, another couple, like 100 miles, you know? And I get to your house, we check it out again. It's not leaking then, you know? So I honestly think it was overfilled. Yeah. And I think I'm very lucky because then, you know, I get into the mode of like Googling and this is bad. I was like Googling stuff while I'm driving, you know, like I'm driving, like Googling stuff, trying to look at it. Was terrible, right?
When your truck's out in the desert because you rolled it over because you were on Google, your transmission is probably the last thing you got to worry about at that point.
So I get here and then even last night I'm like trying to like figure it out. And I think I'm lucky because, that vent had it because like I start Googling what happens if you overfill a transmission and we talked to Pert last night and everybody like, yeah, overfilling the transmission is just as bad as it having no fluid. It could cause a lot of problems. So I'm like, but I think because it had that vent, I think that's what saved the whole thing. And it was dumping out the excess fluid.
So you want to hear a funny story about overfilling something?
Yes.
Okay. So in high school, I had a 1982 or a 3 Corolla Tercel. Mm-hmm. So it was a Corolla, but it said Tercel under it too. And so this was like the first year that Tercel was about to be its own line of cars, but it started with a Corolla. Mm-hmm. Anyways, this was a front-wheel drive car, but the motor was, it was a four-cylinder front-wheel drive, but the motor was not in sideways. The
oh, really?
Motor was forward? In normal.
Oh, really?
Right? So one day I was like, I'm going to change my own oil. So I pulled it in the driveway, and I drained the oil, and I put four more quarts of oil in it, and I left and just drove around. I think it was... if I can remember, it was a month that I'm driving around, right? Well, that day, my stepdad at the time came home and he goes, "Hey, it smells like gear oil in here. Mm-hmm. Why does it smell like gear oil? It's a very distinct smell."
Yeah, gear oil, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know, you know, whatever. Because he had in the little shed where we lived, he had his oil where he kept old oil and whatever.
Yeah. Huh?
So I dumped my oil and I was like, well, maybe I opened the gear oil and dumped my oil. Maybe there was gear oil in there, right? Uh-huh. I don't know. So one day I'm driving, and I lived in Ontario at the time, but I went to school in Riverside. So I'm driving, and I was like, and the transmission, it's a little four speed. So first gear starts to grind, and then I shift to second, and it doesn't grind. And I shift to third, and it starts to grind. And I'm like, what's wrong with this thing? And then fourth ground. So second gear didn't grind. So I drove home in like second gear from Riverside to Ontario on the side streets, get home. And I was like, we'll take it to the mechanic. So they have a mechanic. So they take it to the mechanic, and they're like, bro, there's no gear oil in this.
You drained the transmission.
I drained the gear oil out of the transmission and added four more quarts. So it had 8 quarts of oil.
Oh, my God.
And no gear oil. And the reason was is because of the way that the motor was in there and the transmission, the plugs were right next to each other.
Right, yeah.
And so me, I'm not like a seasoned mechanic.
Yeah, you're still young.
I'm still not. You know what I mean? Like,
But
now I know. Like,
yeah.
But, yeah, so... This goes to show you that like cars can withstand certain things.
Yeah.
And this was, I literally drove this thing around for, I want to say it was a month or more.
With 8 quarts of oil.
And no gear oil.
And no gear oil.
Yeah.
It wasn't like blown smoke or anything from all the oil in it? Really?
So they did, put gear oil in it, drain the oil out, put 4 quarts of oil in it, new filter, and I drove the car and I sold the car months and months later. Yeah, yeah.
And everything was fine.
That car's probably still running.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like, yeah. I mean, the truck is still shifting fine.
I mean, automatic transmissions can be a little bit more finicky. Uh-huh. There's a lot more going on.
Have you ever seen the guys on like TikTok and stuff who take apart transmissions?
I filmed one of...
Oh, that's right.
In that Tre 5 built SEMA build, we did it for Auto Revolution. And days before SEMA, the transmission was bad. Mm-hmm. So we drove it over the transmission shop. The guy literally put it on the lift, took the transmission out, put it on this bench and just was like fling, 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 all these discs and all this stuff. And he was just like, I was like, how do you know how all this goes back together?
Yeah. It's
people that work on transmissions are
automatic insane. Transmissions are magic.
Yes.
That's the only way I can describe how an automatic transmission works. Like a manual transmission is pretty simple, man. Yeah. You just push it. That's the gear. That, you know. Yeah, yeah. But automatic transmission is, there is motor, magic, and wheels, you know?
Yeah.
So this truck is magically just still flown along. We drove it all day today. So I got here last night, and we got in that thing this morning, drove it all the way out to Pandas, which is 10,000 miles away from your house.
It is. We probably we left here. We went to Tanner's because he's taken up all my booth stuff because I'm driving the Tacoma.
You're driving the Tacoma tomorrow. Yeah.
And. Then we went to Pandas and then drove back. And so you got to kind of get a little bit of experience of me when I go to Pandas to film.
Right. Yeah.
It sucks.
It's far.
Yeah.
It's freaking far. Yeah. But yeah. So, I mean, so since basically since I left my house, so you have to assume it's been full the whole time. I put 500 miles on that truck in the last few days.
With probably 500 pounds of stuff in the bed.
Oh yeah, yeah. Right. Oh yeah, completely loaded down. So I would imagine that if something was going to fail, it probably would have already failed.
Yeah. And tomorrow we have to climb some pretty steep
hills. I know. And that's in the back of my mind, and there's a little dude sitting in a chair going, "Those are a lot of hills."
In the back of my mind, I'm like, if my truck makes it and yours doesn't, I'm going to laugh my ass off.
That would actually be funny.
Imagine my truck and we your truck breaks down in this really bad side, and we have to put a strap on your truck from my truck, and I'm towing your truck.
Yeah.
Almost worth it for the content.
No.
Almost worth it for the content.
Almost. But yeah, it's been pretty nerve-wracking, man. Just because, like, me, like, and my personality and how I am, it's been pretty freaking nerve-wracking.
There's this thing about you and vlogging and Frank, the persona of Frank. Remember,
there's two different Franks.
Yeah, and this is what a lot of people. Me and Carl have had this conversation about YouTubers, and you almost have to be a character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have like Puddin's Fab Shop, and all these YouTubers and their characters. And you were a kind of a character. Mm-hmm. When you put your sunglasses on, you turn into this thing. Everything's okay. Nothing's wrong. It's like we're partying. We're having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But slowly that character has just faded into the you of Frank. And now I think we're going to really see you
on this new journey.
I know it's going to be in your video, but we went to Pandas today and talked to him about the build of your truck. And there was a few things that he said, and you were kind of like,
Could you tell? Could you tell, like, when he was talking?
I know that. Yeah. I couldn't tell. Like, you physically didn't go, but I could see in your brain, you're like, well, that's kind of not what I had in mind.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, we're talking about, you know, when you go to a place and they hit you with costs of certain things, it's kind of a gut punch.
It's almost like a little reality check.
It is, because you're about to be like, I'm about to put how much money into this?
Yeah, you're about to embark on this $7,000
truck?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's
$9,500 truck.
$9,500.
I mean, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. And it's going to be interesting. But it's funny that you say that about my persona, too. Because, like, if you go back and watch my older videos, that's Vlog Frank. That is 100% Vlog Frank. And now, almost, you know what? Almost when we, like, got to that point in the podcast when you're, like, I think it was, like, episode 20. And you're just, like, take the sunglasses
off. Oh, no. It was, like, the second episode.
It was very early on.
Because I was, like, I'm not going to talk to you with the sunglasses.
Yeah. And in hindsight, I get that. Like, but I was still in that mode. I was still like, I got to put Frank on, you know, or vlog Frank or custom life Frank or whatever.
But that's the thing, like the real Frank, the anxiety Frank, I think my truck's going to blow up. And if it does, this is going to like ruin my life Frank.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Frank people want to see because that actually connects more
with anyone
than the party thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, you know, because everyone's out there, everyone, like, we don't have a lot of money, so these things are so money and knowledge, right? Like, if you're like Tanner or whatever, like, if something breaks, this fool will just go and rebuild it real fast in his backyard.
Yeah.
But if something breaks on like my truck tomorrow, I'm gonna be like, well, this is like, this puts a real big kink in my plans,
right?
And same with you, and same with most everyone that's listening. Like, not everyone has like this expendable income if something tragic happens. So it's like it's relatable to be stressed out about certain things.
Yeah.
Same with when you talk about softball too, like that's a relatable thing because that's what people do.
Yeah.
So more people want to see like the real person that's behind the camera and doing these things versus the character of the thing.
Well, I think as these videos roll out and we progress, like it's gonna be like that, which is great. Like that's what I planned on. That's what I wanted. Everything is. And it was, I'll talk about this in the video, but we'll also talk about it here, about how, over a year ago, because that was last May, and now we're in October. But this show, the last time we were doing the show, I brought the 4Runner out here.
Oh, that's right. The show was in May last year.
Right. Yeah.
So I keep saying 1 year ago.
But it's like it more like a year and a half. Closer to two. But it doesn't matter. This show last year, I came out, I brought the 4Runner, and we had a conversation way back on those podcasts about like bringing the 4Runner. You're like, why don't you drive it? And then that's like almost like the first time something kind of like chipped in my brain. Mm. Like, why don't I drive it? Oh, well, and this is not. And Brandon, who bought it, like it's a great truck. But for my thing, it was I was slowly falling out of that truck in love with that truck for a long time. You know,
when it comes to vehicles, there's certain things that have different people for different vehicles. There's no way I don't think you would drive my Tacoma in the state that it's in up to Prescott right now.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
But I would, and not saying that I want to drive like this shitty truck. Mm-hmm. That truck's, it's uncomfortable to drive, right? I mean, it's not super uncomfortable, but it's like, it's hot. The floors are hot. It's just metal, whatever. Like, interior's kind of rattly. It's not the thing, but like, some people can drive a truck like that every single day, and that's totally fine.
Yeah. To them.
Like, I don't know what I'm trying to say
here. No, I totally get what you're saying. Yeah.
So you, with your 4Runner, it wasn't to the point where you were comfortable driving it.
Yeah.
Like, drivability-wise, comfortable driving.
Oh, yeah. It's a solid truck that could go anywhere. I think what it comes down to is process. like your truck, it's a process to drive that thing.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be in a right mindset. You have to be ready to take on this task of taking this thing up to the show. Same thing with the 4Runner. Like the 4Runner was, I mean, it was comfortable. It had air conditioning. It had all the creature comforts. Yeah. But it was still a process to get out of the garage, you know, do all this stuff.
This one said get it out of the garage.
As soon as that left my mouth, I realized that was the right thing to say.
I think it's not even more of that, because the garage part was an excuse on top of the...
It was an excuse.
The thing was driving it long distance.
Right.
Because it would start to get... The floors would start to get... Like, there was just things that would happen to it, and you're just like, I just really actually don't like this truck anymore.
Yeah, and that's what it... And then, like, even when we were heading out to Pandas today, you and I, we went to Tanner separately, but then from Tanner's to Pandas, we got in that thing, we're cruising down the freeway, we're listening to music, you know, just cruising, and I'm like, imagine this thing bagged and bodied.
Yeah.
The same scenario, just bagged and bodied.
Yeah.
And it was like, yes,
yeah,
that's it.
And that's exactly all part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
When you built the 4Runner, there was a plan, but you might not have known like about the heats. Like there was things you just didn't know about to make the plan work.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it was also a learning experience too. Cause now I can apply that to this. Cause I know exactly how I want it to be.
Yes.
And that was like, that was so everybody will see the video, but that was like the preliminary thing. It was funny. Cause like I put up a photo today of just me and Panda talking about it. So like I got all these messages. Oh, you dropped it off, ready to go, starting. I was like, well, this was more like a preliminary kind of like this is a consultation, you know.
Yeah.
And giving a chance for Panda to physically look at it, because even he was like, when I pulled it up and he opened the door and he's just like, oh, it's a floor shift, not a column shift. Like, and we said this a few times in the video that like a lot of this process is going to be like little hurdles to get over, like little things that are going to be different that he has to figure out, like, you know, moving the ABS system and, you know, what kind of brake booster to use and what we're going to do about the floor shifter and the catalytic converter and like all this other stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So it is going to be this process. You know, it's going to be a process for me too, like coming out here and filming and doing that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
But I left Pandas very excited though. I'm still stoked. I'm still excited. I'm ready. I'm freaking ready.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm super happy. And I'm just happy. Like I said, I'm just happy driving that truck, man. And another funny little thought that popped into my head today was like, I've joked about this before, and even on the way out here, it was like, you know, this truck isn't that bad completely stock. Like, it's pretty, you know, and I said that to this morning. But then I see your truck's in the driveway. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, this is garbage. I don't want this.
Yeah.
I want that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You want a mix of the two.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Like, and that's, yeah. Oh, and I put a video out since we talked.
You did, yeah.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
That has to do with my Tacoma and the bed in my Tacoma.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a new bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I checked that out today.
Yeah.
It's a little rusty.
It's a little rusty. It's all right. Had a bed liner in it.
Oh, is that why it's rusty?
Yeah. Anytime you have a plastic bed liner in your truck.
Well, mine does.
It rubs. It'll go like slowly, and it rubs through the paint, and then water gets in there, and then it rusts.
Wonder how mine actually looks under there, because I don't know.
Probably rusty.
Yeah,
but it's just surface rust. It's not. It's not like it's gonna rust through. Like if you lived on the Midwest, Southeast, anywhere besides out here.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah, it's just fine. You know, it's not gonna big deal. But yeah, so we're gonna throw a new bed on that Tacoma after the 11th. After I get back from that modded culture show, so I think he's gonna start cutting it up next week, framing it up, and yeah.
Is he making his own Cali combo, or are you gonna?
No, I got one from. So you know that guy. From you know the Just Plain Trick Tacoma with That's All Crazy? So the owner of that truck hit me up. Actually, Shane from Extreme Lows? Yeah, I think he got word that I got a new bed from Brandon, and then he hit that guy up, and that guy messaged me and was like, hey, I got one. I didn't end up using it on my truck.
Oh,
so
cool.
He's going to give it to me at a good deal, and he's right up the street from Panda, so it's going to have a Cali. I was really wanting to keep the stock tailgate on it.
Yeah.
But then in my head, I'm like, there's no reason to do that.
Yeah, not really.
There's not a reason to have a stock tailgate that's, when you open it, it's this high off the ground. I'm not going to sit on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need it. It's actually better if it was shaved shut.
Yeah. And it already will go, because it's already all shaved anyway. It would look weird because you're already kind of like developing this look of this truck. It would be weird to go back to like a stock thing.
Like, yeah. It's got stock door handles. And the only thing that's shaved on that truck right now, besides the actual bed, is the tail or the gas door. So this bed, I don't know exactly what's going to happen as far as the bed floor. Like, we're going to raise it. It's got to be raised up quite a bit to clear all the suspension stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the back's going to have a wider door. I kind of explained that in the video, where the battery is accessible just a better planned out thing.
Yeah.
And I'm really
Because like you were so you couldn't, and this is kind of the theme with your whole truck is like you kind of don't have, you are kind of like stuck doing certain things
because of certain
things. Like that bed, that was the only way that bed was going to actually work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So now I'm like, okay, now I can start from stock and it's still going to be as the way that I really would like it to be, but it's going to be better than, it's going to be better than it was.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the way to say that. Like I was giving up the way I wanted to do it.
You were like I said, you were sacrificing what you really wanted because you were kind of stuck in these constraints of
how the sacrificing constraints are those two words that I was looking for.
Yeah. You were kind of stuck in that mode. Yeah. No, but no, the new bed is going to be killer. It's going to be lighter.
It's going to be a little lighter. And not that bed was actually, it was heavy, but I mean, you know, three people could take it off. But yeah, it's going to be a little lighter. It's just going to be a little bit, again, the battery. We don't have to mess with the battery. We don't have to mess with the wiring on the bottom because the wiring that Tanner did goes right to the battery. So if we were going to have to flip the battery around.
Oh, you got
to
change all this.
And it's not such a big deal, but it's just like it's already done. It already works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for tomorrow, man, to see that thing cruise. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be a ton of fun. There was something else going to say about your video that I made.
Me and Joe.
Yeah, you and Joe, you went out to the show. That was fun. That's what we were talking about last time was like, you know, you didn't know how well that was going to translate to
video. Didn't know how well it was going to be received by people.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and I still don't know. I mean, you said it was cool and Lindsay said it was cool. But then sometimes when you know the people.
Yeah,
that's kind of what's cool. Because like when you see Joe make funny Martin, you're like, oh, I know Joe. That's funny. I like that.
Or you see Lonnie, you know.
Lonnie
was a good part. Yeah.
But like if you don't know any of these people, and that's kind of where people always, they tend to forget that if your group of friends is doing something funny on video, is that actually funny or is it funny because it's your group of friends?
I think I have not an answer to that, but I have a thought on that. Because although like, yeah, I mean, I know Joe really well. I know Lonnie really well. So like, yeah, those are my friends doing fun things that I want to see. But even if you were not any of those things, you still know who Lonnie is. He's the guy, him and Radar, the two guys.
Yeah, but there's some people that don't know that too.
Oh, really? They're like,
I mean, I'm assuming there's
I would just say that like, if, okay, let's just say that someone, oh, I know Lonnie. I've heard that name. I heard he has something to do with LST. Or I know Joe. I've heard the name Joe. I know C10 bought those, but I really don't know Joe. But then you see those people doing like, regular things and now you kind of like have a more of a like an associate like an association like they're you can see they're real human beings. They're not just some name that you heard of that runs a show. There's like faces and personalities to the names. You know, now if you're someone who doesn't know anything like who that is, then maybe you stumbled across the video, like someone who's just like, oh, I've seen this guy's videos before. They're really cool. They're about trucks, and he's building a truck.
And those are my thumbs down. That video has had more thumbs down than any of my other videos. Oh,
really? Interesting.
It's like six last time I
looked. Yeah.
But like usually my videos get either no thumbs down or one or two.
Mm-hmm.
And that one had six right away, and I'm like, hmm.
But that's probably why. Someone maybe came across your channel before,
and they're this like, guy builds I don't cool understand trucks, any goes to, of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that's my thing is I try to think that the person watching this video does not know who I am, does not know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you forget about that.
Yeah, because
that's
so
why when I was talking about the truck, about it driving, I was like, you got to remember, this truck used to look like this.
Yeah. Oh, I love that part.
Yeah.
That's my favorite picture of that truck ever, is just the motor and drive shaft and rear end. That's the best thing ever.
Yeah. And now it's going to drive 2 hours.
Yeah.
Up a curvy mountain.
Yeah. I'm so nervous about my truck. I'm so nervous.
I love how you're nervous about your stock truck.
I know. My stock truck with like low miles on it when everything's fine. And I'm the one who's nervous. It's going to be something when it's all finally done and I'm blasting through the middle of freaking like New Mexico on the way to Mininats. Yeah. Like that's going to be, I'll probably be just as high anxiety.
You know? Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, because the feeling of like low profile tires on the road and hitting bumps in New Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
You're just like, you could just destroy your tire in a second. And it's like, that's my worst. Like, even my tires are super low profile.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, dude, it looks like I could just hit something and it will just explode.
Yeah. Imagine if you hit that pothole in New Mexico in that truck.
Oh, that it would still be, it would be bare. It would just go into the pothole and live there.
Just leave it there.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do what Pat did. Pat took his wheels off and just put some steelies on it and drove out there.
Yeah, that's an idea. My buddy in his Accord years and years and years ago used to take his. He had 20-inch Lexanis on a 99 Accord on juice, and he took them off and put like 17s on. And then when he would get to the show, he would three wheel the front.
Oh, nice!
He'd take the wheel off, put it, and then he would three wheel this side, and then three wheel the back, and then three wheel.
That's actually pretty tight. That's actually pretty tight. Yeah. That's cool.
So that's actually a good alternative to, like, say you did drive it to Mini Nats 1 year, and because your tires, they're not going to be super low profile.
No, but, they're going to be 225/40s.
Yeah, but still hitting those, some of those potholes out there. Like,
well, the one that really took out the, I know it didn't take out, but the one that we got in the Titan, I think any kind of
any low
profile tire just destroy it.
So I think a good idea would be to like get a set of stocks,
uh-huh,
like your stocks that you have on there now, mm-hmm, and put like a chunky, like what are those 15?
So yeah, just like whatever the radius is of like the custom wheels that are going to be on it, whatever
just a chunky tire.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to was it the guy in the S10 you were talking about Pat?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do that. Yeah. And then, cause we can just throw your wheels in the trailer.
Mm-hmm. Just get to the B&B. Just
get to the Airbnb.
Jack them up, put them on.
Not cruise.
Not a bad idea.
Get the steely stocks, like the ones, with the holes.
Oh,
in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like the Toyota, the 14-inch, 15-inch steely stocks. Put a nice beauty ring on it. Put a thick tire on it. And it would look sick.
Yeah. That would actually be pretty cool. Or what would be really wild is, like I said, find out the diameter of the wheel and then try to find, like, a chunky tire and then do an all-terrain. Like, on it now.
Yeah, yeah. That would be cool.
That'd actually be pretty dope.
I'm thinking about doing something like that on the Maverick when it needs tires.
Oh, really?
I'm thinking about getting, like, a 15-inch or 16-inch wheel, like a 1552.
Uh-huh.
Is it 1552 or 15?
I have no idea.
Yeah, you know, the wheels that rain in Orange County.
The company, the 1552. Company. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I thought you're talking about some tires.
No, like an aggressive style wheel with an aggressive tire. There's a guy that I talked to at C10s in the park, and he's got a Maverick, and he's a painter or painter supplier or something, and he painted his like a electric green.
Okay.
And then he put like an aggressive all-terrain tire, but he lowered it.
Oh yeah,
that's kind of cool. I really like that look.
Yeah,
that is actually pretty tough. On the front, put like two big fog lights on the front.
Yeah,
yeah,
that'd be sick. Yeah, lots of all sorts of ideas, but this is the beginning, man. This is the very beginning. I was, you know, we were planning on doing this for a while, but yeah, I thought that was really interesting how you brought that up. That last year at this show was like the first, like,
yeah, because I'm just like, then, just drive it. Like,
and then I'll probably put this in the video. And then that same show when we went up there, Switch did a Whip Check Wednesday on it, and I finished that video, and I maybe subconsciously something,
yeah.
In that video, I said, I don't remember it verbatim, but it was basically like, yeah, this is my Forerunner. I said, I don't know how long I'll have it. I'll either have it forever or maybe not next week. And then, I mean, it was a year-ish, but, you know. But yeah, and then here I was. It's gone now.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, but I'm excited. I'm super excited. But this weekend's going to be fun. What else is going on?
For me, I got a lot going on.
Yeah, what? Tell me about it.
I got that.
I got 20 minutes to kill.
I've got that Modded Culture show. So if you're in the Phoenix area on October 11th, Modded Culture, 6 p.m. to midnight at Firebird Raceway. It's like drifting, hop contest. Apparently, it's just this wild time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that. And then 2 weeks after that, on the 25th, it's called Truckin' 48. And that is at where Severed used to be, Castles and Coasters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like...
Has anything to do with State 48 Glass?
No, the glass company, but Truckin' 48, basically. Arizona Truckin'. Like, it's just a show promoter named
Truckin' 48. Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
It's just Truckin' in the 48th state, basically. Okay. That's just the name of the show. And that's there. And that night, I'm going to see Viagra Boys.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. That's dope.
Me and Steiner.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then the weekend after that is the Day of the Dead show in Riverside. And the weekend after that is the Day to Remember show in Vegas.
Yep.
And then the weekend after that is Dino's Get Down. And then 2 weeks after that is Turkey Drag. And then Severn the Southwest, January 31st.
Mm-hmm.
And then Forbidden in March. So we're rolling right into everything.
Yeah, yeah. Day of the Dead show. Do you want to talk about your shirt?
No.
No? Okay, we'll move on.
No.
Well, we have to. You already said it.
So I got my new
shirts. You could just say you have new shirts.
Look, I have new shirts.
New shirts.
This was the pre-order that everyone, you know, a bunch of people got in on, and I appreciate it. Now they're live. They're on the website available.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have some talls in there. Once I get the pre-order of the talls shipped,
mm-hmm.
I have a couple extras. I don't know exactly in what sizes and how many. And then hoodies. So I'm going to have Day of the Dead hoodies on the website. And if you guys remember, there was a little mess up on the very first piece of the artwork. And instead of The Good Life, it says Thai Good Life.
Right. Because the artist...
The artist just really quickly, I mean, I don't know. He just did a thing and did a little... He wasn't paying attention or something. And then I showed it to him and he fixed it.
Uh-huh.
Well, he had already sent the SEPs, right? The mm-hmm. separation files to the printer.
Mm-hmm.
And then... So the printer now has on his computer the old files and then he has the fixed files.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the owner of the printing company was on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And when these got printed, apparently they grabbed the wrong file.
Mm-hmm. It happens. Hey, man.
It happens.
It's
printed the biggest shirt order that I've ever ordered in my entire life as a shirt person.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of shirts that say Thai Good Life on the front and back.
Yeah. But you know what though? Like, so when you first put that piece of art out there, only one person
saw it. You didn't see it.
I know you usually are
you and Lindsay and Will.
I know.
Are very usually like, oh, look at this. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. And for it to get past that means that
it's not a crucial piece. And these are special now. They're errors. It's like error baseball cards.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm going to do reprints of these later. This shirt will be around for a couple of years.
And again, it doesn't change the... No one is going to be wearing the shirt and someone's going to be like, walk by. They're like, hey. Yeah. You know, no one... It's fine. No one cares.
Usually people be like, what is good?
Gallant? Yeah, they would be more like... not concerned, but they would be definitely be more interested in the spelling.
What is it? Or just the artwork in general.
Yeah. Well, no, the artwork in general is cool. It's
also,
super cool.
My printer... Is Fuel Market, mm-hmm. an artist and printer. So this is not a bad on them. It was literally, the two files were probably named the same.
Yeah.
They looked the identical.
Yeah.
And the owner of the company said he would replace every single shirt and hoodie. He already put this shirt order in and he told me, he was like, I will reprint all of those and give them to you.
Yeah.
And so
it's just one of those things.
But what was nice is like having a company that would do that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Not make an excuse. Just,
mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
Yeah, and Fuel Market has always been the best. I mean, they've made the Forbidden shirts for like almost the entire time.
Yeah, since 2000.
Yeah. Almost the entire time. Yeah. But hey, man, stuff happens. And very early on in my career, I mean, it wasn't as big as it was pretty big. It was about 300 pieces.
Yeah, that's big. That's a huge order.
It was about 300 pieces, and so I was making these shirts for an elementary school. And the elementary school was on Grapevine Boulevard, but they spell Grapevine. Okay, this is where my memory gets foggy. I either made them two words or one word, and it was the other way around. So whatever it was, I either made it two words and it was one word, or vice versa. But I messed it up, and it was down in San Diego. It was a school down in San Diego. So I did this whole order, and I'm like only maybe a year into my printing career. Make the whole thing, send it down there. They get it, and I get that. I always forget if it was a phone call or text, but they're like, hey, we love the shirts, but they're spelled wrong. And I'm all, huh? And then, like, so they told me, they're like, yeah, Grapevine is either one word or two word, I can't remember. And my first reaction, being so new, I was like, it doesn't matter. It's like, it still gets the point across, you know? But I think that's a different scenario than this, because this is like a tiny little thing on a bigger piece of artwork that, you know, in the grand scheme of things. But it took me a minute to realize it. Oh, this is the name of their school. Like it would be like misspelling like Walmart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like that one. And then I had to eat it and I redid the art and I reprinted the t-shirts. Luckily for me in that scenario, it was like black ink on a red shirt.
Yeah.
So they were like super easy to print, you know?
The funny thing is this shirt, I went to California on Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
I met up with Brandon. We unloaded the shirts, and he was like, "Hey," I was like, "Hey, did you fold these inside out?" And he goes, "I don't know. Open them up."
I just noticed that they are folded the front way,
which
out.
Is fine because you can see
this. Yeah,
this
is so distinct. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I'm like, you guys got to fold them backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, anyways, he was like, "Well, yeah, open a box. I want to see it." So he saw this.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
he,
the thing
and
is,
then,
is it's
and also
very...
I sent out all of the pre-orders.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of pre-orders, and then today or yesterday, right before you got here, I was like, oh, I'm gonna pull a 2X out for me to wear this weekend. Mm-hmm. So I pull it out, I opened it up, and I just laid it over the thing, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna show Frank this when he gets here. You got here, and I was like, you're like, oh, look, cool. And you, and then I noticed it.
You know, because even right in that moment, I'm so like, this is amazing, this is great, this is so cool.
Yeah. And then I looked at the thing, and I go, does that? Oh my god, no way! And I just snapped a picture of it.
Yeah.
Sent it to Brandon. And he was like, yeah,
it happens. But yeah, even in that scenario, when I was staring at the t-shirt, because your eyes do not go to that.
No, it's
your
not
eyes. Oh, like, I think that's just like with everything. People's eyes just go to the center of the image. Yeah. And the first thing that I was drawn to was the wheel, like seeing your wheel.
Yeah,
like that's cool. And see, like, that would be like something that could be a major problem if that like wasn't a G and it was something else. Like,
yeah,
that would be something that's like,
yeah,
you know. But no, yeah, so your focus goes to the wheel, and then from the wheel it pans out and it sees these two figures of skeletons holding beer. So you're just like kind of processing all this information.
Yeah,
my brain even didn't even get to that part.
Yeah,
I'm already processing.
It's because
all
you already know what it says in your head.
Yeah,
and it's like that thing when someone reads you something and then you're like, read it again, and you miss over an entire word or whatever, you know, like it's just that thing.
It
and
is.
Again, but it just goes to show you, like, like you were talking about screen printing and how, like, you take so much pride in making sure everything's done right and it's not going to crack. And, like, this, it's just this thing that it's your business. And and Brandon was very serious about, like, making sure that this was going to be right, you know, that he would do this. And, like, that's pretty crazy to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's just because that's how Brandon is. Yeah. He's just a total stand up dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, but like, everything's fine.
Also, this drop shirt is very unique.
I know. You didn't even notice it all
I
day.
I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, that's fine. I put myself on blast a little too. So the new shirts, they got a D on the front, which is solid, which I like. And then it has a big The Drop on the back. And we added our little like saying in there that I say. It's like, it's been a week.
Yeah.
So I'm printing the shirts, just printing along. And I always tend to print my shirts last. And this is, okay, this is very selfish because I print mine last because I'm already in a good motion of, and I know that those are going to be spot on. Like, I know those are going to be good. So I always leave my personal shirts for the last things to print. So I'm going along, and I finally get to mine that I'm going to use, and I'm looking at it. I'm looking at the screen, and I'm all, I don't think I like that. So I just taped it off and then printed mine. Well, so mine just says The Drop with nothing under it.
So everyone's listening to this. I think we're gonna give it one more night. I'll get the pre-order for the This Is Our Time. So I think I need to put that on blast on the internet tomorrow. But so if you're listening to this, you still have time. I'm gonna do a reprint of the what is it?
Mini Truckers Never Say Die.
Mini Truckers Never Say It. This Is Our Time. It's a play on the Goonies.
Yeah.
Da-da. I did a run of them in the past, and I remember telling you, I was like, hey man, you can just take one, and you went, you literally went, nah, it's not, it's kind of not my jam, and I was like, okay.
I know. That's so bad.
But it's totally fine because not everyone's going to like every... Like,
yeah.
We're all different in what our... Like, some people like stuff with sayings on them. Some people don't. And I think that's hilarious that you have... But it also goes back to this interesting conversation we've been having about you and your brand.
Yeah.
And your power that you have of creating something.
To do stuff, yeah.
Like, you could go out there and make whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like... You like, you're printing, you're like, I don't like that. You like erase it. No one else can do that.
Right.
I can't do that with my shirts.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of cool that you have the power to do that.
Yeah. It is. I understand. Yeah. It's really cool what I do. I still love what I do. And I learned a lot. I have a new shirt. I have a new shirt out right now. It's my Alba Bank shirt that I had a pre-order with about a month or so ago, a little while ago. Yep. And it says, it's an Alba Bank, and it says Cruising on Chrome, Custom Life. I learned something on that one that I was like, when I saw that art, what I did was I saw that art, Chris Rhodes drew it. He just doodled an Alba Bank. And I was like, that's my favorite wheel. That's a wheel that's going on the Tacoma. It's my favorite wheel. So I'm like, I want that. So I hit him up. I said, hey man, I want that. How much you want for it? So we worked it out. I got it. And I want to turn that into a shirt. So now I'm like, okay, this is my favorite wheel. And it's chrome. So I want to do like a chrome theme shirt. And so I went through an iteration of it. Didn't work out. So now it says cruising on Chrome, custom life. And like after I did the pre-orders and printed them, I was like, this doesn't need the cruising on Chrome part. You know, like it's cool. Like I like it. And I have a bunch of them. So if anybody wants to buy them, like I have them. But I kind of realized like the direction I want to start going is just like just doing like what you do, which is cool designs with just the company name, like custom life. You know, like they're kind of like all it really needs.
Well, even my shirts, there's a lot, like some of my shirts I look at and I go, there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. So I try to balance my stuff with the simple artwork, which is like the front of the truck where it's just half faded. Mm-hmm. You know, because if I sit back and I look at my booth, if I had 10 shirts and they were all skeletons, mm-hmm. I feel like that's just too much.
You, and you have a good eye. Do you remember what you told me at Rolling the Rocks a couple mm-hmm. years ago? You're like, hey, come here. And I was like, what? And you're like, look at your booth. Text, 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 text. There's no art. And I was like, oh, you're right.
Yeah.
But sometimes it takes someone else to tell you that. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And it's okay to tell someone that too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I've had to work on my opinion telling. because sometimes I'm just really, like something works for me. So I like, oh, well, do this. You should do this because it worked for me. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the way that things happen sometimes. But it's also okay to criticize. Not criticize, but like say, hey, what do you think about this? Mm-hmm. It's like, do you think this? And sometimes you just don't see it. And mm-hmm. that's why when I looked at mine, I'm like, hey, I can't do all. I could if I wanted. I could like do all skeletons and make and sell a bunch of shirts. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to just do that just to sell the shirts.
Right.
Like, I can't. I want it to be balanced out.
Yeah.
I don't want to make something just to make the money.
Yeah, no.
But you totally. Also want to make something just to make the money.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want it to be a balanced deal.
And also, like, you have to be not scared of trying different things. Like, what you did, like, you earlier this year, you were kind of, like, dabbling. Because you did the skeleton thing for a while. And you were kind of dabbling in this, like, animal thing. You know, we talked about a lot on the podcast. Like, what kind of animals would we be in all this and all this, all these things. And you kind of dabbled in that, kind of realized maybe that was it didn't work, you know. And you
it worked for the panda again. Thing, like the panda thing worked.
Yeah, yeah, well, definitely because like
yeah, but I'm like, I was like, oh, I'm gonna make me an animal. I'm gonna
exactly,
make Milan yeah. an animal for Dinos, and mm-hmm. and Dinos won't it'll we'll have a new shirt for Dinos, mm-hmm. hopefully, fingers crossed.
Right,
Thai good life. but it's not gonna be animals because I just don't know. I'm not excited about that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll try excited it with something it, yeah. else. But it's also, again, here's the thing. It's a big investment for me mm-hmm. where it's a little investment for you to find things out.
Right, yeah.
For me, one. I have to pay for, I mean, we both have to pay for artwork. Mm-hmm. But also, I have to order, like, a lot of t-shirts.
Right.
And I know the t-shirts will sell, but you don't.
Right.
You could be like, I'm going to try this and print 12 shirts. Mm-hmm. Like, you literally have that power. Mm-hmm. And it's really, like...
Yeah, and I'm trying to, like, exercise. And I hear that, you know, you tell me that. Lindsay tells me that. Like, a lot of people tell me that.
That's
like,
because we're envious of that. We can't do that.
No, yeah, no, I know. I know where it comes from. But it is good advice. And I need to, and I'm trying to, like, exercise yeah. that. I kind of exercise it on this wheel shirt. You know, I didn't go as full as I didn't do little, but I didn't do as full. I just want
to
see.
You kind of realize, like, oh, I don't have to go full.
Exactly.
Because what in the past, what it was is we would make a shirt. There'd be a show coming up mm-hmm. or you mostly more did this because you've been doing this longer, but you would be like, okay, the first show, say it's LST. Okay. I'm going to make 3 new designs in December. I'm going to mm-hmm. print those 3 new designs. And then those 3 new designs are going to carry me through the year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With my older designs.
Yeah.
But now
it's like, you can't do that all the time.
It's just like new stuff. Yeah. And with you even more, you could be like, I'm going to print these 12, sell them online. You don't even need to go to a show. Mm-hmm. You just be like, hey, anybody want these? And I'm going to print some up, or you print them up. How Lindsay does a lot of times, she'll throw like a purple shirt in or mm-hmm. whatever different shirt in just to have it for her.
Yeah.
And then, but you could do that just with like whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm really trying to like implement all these things and yeah. And it translates to everything. It's t-shirts. It's the truck. Yeah.
It's like not show. Waiting around.
It's like, yeah. Like
being
it's,
more proactive.
Yeah.
And not waiting for the show to be like the show to sell all these mm-hmm. shirts. It's just like, no, what am I doing sitting around?
Yeah.
And the way I'm being more proactive is instead of, you know, I can't make a piece of art and then go into my office and make the t-shirt. Mm-hmm. So I have to be like taking the money that I make at the event and like literally turning it around. And instead of waiting 4 months until I'm like, okay, I'm ready for a new design. Mm-hmm. I'm literally like just working boom. On that design mm-hmm. right away.
Yeah.
Like I already have a new design that is funny. Now that I think about it, Because my new design that I have for the
have
end of the year.
Have you showed me already?
I showed. It's the back of my truck. It's the it looks like E.T. with the moon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's dope.
It's dope.
Yeah, it's a super cool shirt.
I'm not going to have the bed on that.
Oh, that's right. It's a different bed now. Well, yeah, I mean, it's still going to be shaved.
It's still going to be shaved, but it has the license plate thing. Oh, and the license plate. Yeah. Rich, if you're listening to this, your license plate bracket will be used in a different way, though.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of funny. But it's also like, yeah, it's like the theme to that shirt is I'm leaving out of 2025 and coming into 2026 type thing. So like I could make a shirt that shows the leaving and then the next shirt should show the coming.
That's it. That's the move right there.
It's the going into the moon and coming out the sun with the sun.
Write that down. Write that down.
Everyone's listening. They're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. You will see. So that's what I was getting back to, though, is I made that design, not ready to release it, but I want to be ahead of the game.
Yeah.
So just not waiting around. That's how I can be proactive, you know?
Yeah. I think as long as you're proactive in any single way, it's good, you know? Like me bringing the truck out, go and talk to Panda, like putting these things in motion.
Things in motion.
Yeah, not waiting around or settling or anything like that. Yeah. But I am freaking excited.
It's like risky.
But it is fun.
But like it is fun. It's a little exciting. Fun.
Yeah. It's exciting. Yeah. And that's what was happening. I was like, you know, way back, and I just keep saying it, like, you know, there was a point when I had a choice. I was like, do I just really get into the 4Runner and really start creating content and taking this thing places and doing adventures with it, or do I start this new thing, you know? And I made my decision, and now that's what I'm doing. So I'm trying to stick to it, you know. And Panda seems pretty ready. He has the thing that I realized today, like I said this earlier in the episode, but like it's like I had this idea when I was going to talk to him, like, okay, I want to know what about this and what about that. And then I was kind of like telling you my ideas on things, and you're like, and you even said it, you're like, you know, he's actually going to go, I don't know. Like, you're going to say, oh, what about this particular thing? What are we going to do? And he's going to go, I don't know. He's like, until we start doing this thing and taking it apart and figuring it out, you know, I don't know.
Even if you have, you know, we talked about Hell's Gate. They're going to create a chassis that you will be able to buy for your Toyota Tacoma, and I'm assuming other mini trucks. And so if you have your Tacoma and you buy this chassis and you roll it into your garage and you pop your frame, your body and everything off, and then you, like, there's still not a kit to move the ABS.
Right.
There's still not a kit to do certain things because your wheel sizes are all going to be different. Your wheel widths are going to be different. Everything's going to be different. So you can do all this planning, but you don't really know until you actually like take your wheel off, put the new wheel on, lay it out and go, that's in the way. Now we got to figure out, because there's no reason to figure something out and move something if it's not going to be in the way.
Right.
You literally, what hits? It's like the red truck.
Yeah.
We just untook everything off of the wheel wells, and you literally put everything on top of the motor. And then you do everything and you lay it out, and then you take all those things and you try to plug them back in
and see where they fall.
And then they're like, oh, that don't work. So we got to figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the tedious things that are going to happen. We also talked about, as we were sitting there talking between you, me and Panda and everything, like we were talking about how to film it too. You know, you've learned a whole lot through like the red truck build, through your truck build, like the things that not necessarily matter and don't matter, but what is interesting and what's not interesting.
And I really learned more of that filming at Tray 5.
Oh, really?
So when I film, there's a lot of build series that I've done for Tray 5. The Suburban, Frank's Tahoe, the Gold Square Body. Like, the Gold Square Body was a big one because that's like on Amazon Prime type thing. Like,
yeah.
That one, that was like the first big one I tackled. But then we did the Suburban, and then we did something else. And Jeremy would call me and be like, hey, we're doing this today. And I would say, I don't need to come down there, you know? And so Jeremy's budget was only, you know, the budget for the project was only a certain month. So if you want me down there every day, that's going to go up.
Right.
So if your budget is only this, then I need to spend my time down there selectively.
Yeah.
And so if I'm just sitting there filming you guys, watching you cut and weld.
Yeah.
That's really not interesting.
Yeah.
But like for your truck, the interesting thing is, getting it down there, like the first day that it goes to Panda, you know, regardless of, say, you just come out here for Dino's, dropped it off here, and then you went home and the truck sitts here. But the day that it actually goes to Panda's, you're going to come back out here. However that works out, you being there for the drop-off date, and that drop-off date is the day that the bed comes off.
Yeah.
is that it's not just dropping it off and sitting it off to the side.
Yeah.
You could drop it off here and sit it off to the side. And then when Panda goes, the spot's ready, let's unbolt stuff.
Right. That's the engine. Yeah, and that's what, because even Panda was like, you know, he had an idea of like just getting him a pocket and he can film it. But even that is like he's building the truck. He knows what has to go into it, but he's not thinking about the other half that we have to kind of think about, you know? So like, it's a good idea. Like, oh, I can film this and just give you the footage. But it's like, yeah, but you don't, and you're not in my head seeing how all this is going to go together.
Exactly.
You know, so.
And luckily you have a friend out here.
Yeah, I know.
That films at Pandas quite a bit.
Oh, so yeah.
I can get B-roll that's happening behind me of your truck while I'm getting whatever I'm down there for.
And it will only be maybe a small discounted price.
Yeah. I'll just be like, hey, charge Frank the hours of labor you're working on my truck. Put it on his truck. Yeah. We're good to go. Because there could be like this thing. You're like, imagine if they're like, hey, we're cutting the thing off today. And it's like kind of important to the story, but not. But since it's right here, might as well get the B-roll.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just take, because that's a lot of times I'll be down there and I'll just film things without any context. Mm-hmm. But I'll just bank that B-roll.
I see.
Because even for later down the road when the truck's all done and I talk about it.
And you can refer back
to that. Now I can refer back to that footage I never showed anyone.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of that footage for the red truck that it just sits there. It's never been used.
Because
I can go back to it and tell the story of like, yeah, we did this. We Z'd the frame. I didn't show any of the Z frame, but I have footage of Z'ing the frame.
Oh, okay.
You know, but it wasn't important to that episode.
But it's important to refer back to, because then you can be as like, that is like a big factor on getting that truck to lay out the right way.
2 years from now, you could be talking about something on the truck.
And just go back to it.
And then just go, you could be like, oh yeah, remember when the transmission was having trouble and now you're broke on down on the side of the road in 2 years because the transmission smoked, and you could go refer still, back to the footage.
Yeah. Or it's still sitting at my house 2 years from now with the transmission smoked and I just gave up.
And your boost stuff's still in it.
Yeah.
I just give everything. You come home in your Home Depot outfit and you walk by it every day like,
yeah.
Remember when I was cool and I did mini trucks? I went to mini truck shows and it's just me. It's now the drop with Brian.
And just you talking to yourself. You're just like, doing monologues.
Every day I call you on FaceTime and you don't answer and I'm like,
and that's the episode.
And that's the episode. I just shut it down.
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I keep saying it, and I feel like a broken record, but I am excited. I'm stoked. And I'm also stoked that everybody else is stoked. Mm. It's really cool. It's really cool to see all the support that I'm getting on this thing. People are like, you know, what's going on? Like, I've been posting, like, little things about bringing the truck out here. Like, and maybe people notice, because, like, I was like, I was in the desert and I put gas and I'm like, all right, man, here we go. And then I stopped at a rest stop and I'm like, oh, I'm stopped at a rest stop. And then nothing happened. I wonder if people were like, hey, what happened? It was me stressing about the transmission.
This is what what happened.
I was so happy, dude. I was just like, because I made a story. I'm like, okay, expect Tacoma spam, because I was going to do that, right? And then nothing, radio silence for like a whole day.
It was also funny because at the exact same time you were calling me and your mechanic and then me. Well, the Dodgers were playing in the second game.
Elimination.
Game. You know, but these baseball games are these playoff things. And like they were leading well, but then the bullpen was shitting the bed. And you were just like, you're listening to that. And you're like,
I'm driving, thinking about this thing underneath me dripping. I'm looking at this guy. Walk, ball, 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 walk.
Yeah. Also, you're watching the game while you're driving.
Oh, yeah. I did. I had my phone up on the dash. By the way, my phone fits perfectly between the dash and the glass, and it holds itself up, and you can, like, watch a whole game while you're driving. It's great.
So the Dodgers beat the Reds, and they're moving on. They're playing the Phillies next. This little baseball talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Cubs beat the Padres tonight.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not because of one bad strike call either.
No, I know. Let's
get it straight. If anyone's a Padres fan,
the Cubs were definitely the better team in those games.
Yes.
Like the Padres, like,
except for yesterday, they got blanked out, but they were still like, the Padres are a really good team.
I forgot. Yeah. Today was the third game, huh?
Yeah. The Padres were, they're a good all around team, and the Cubs were the better all around team.
Yeah. So, I mean, but also like these, like they're the better. It's going to be interesting once it gets to the next bracket.
Mm hmm.
Because those are the Phillies and the Brewers are really good teams.
Well, the Brewers were the best team in all of baseball.
Yeah.
So record wise.
Yeah.
Records are weird sometimes because, you know, there's hurt players. So they could be streaky and be on a losing streak and then whatever. They're really strange. But like, But the Phillies and the Brewers are... And
those are going
to
be
It's
tough.
Like the Dodgers are, and the Cubs are about to hit a wall.
Yeah. I would for sure. I honestly, and this is Angie's optimism going through me, I think we have a pretty good chance against the Phillies. But if the Brewers beat the Cubs and then we meet them in the NLCS, that's going to be the biggest wall.
What about the Cubs versus the Dodgers?
That'd be fun.
I mean, it'd be fun for us.
Yeah, it'd be really, right?
It'd be fun for us. But like, I just think if the Dodgers pounce on the Phillies and get enough runs
mm-hmm.
to where the bullpen doesn't have enough as much stress on them, because right now the bullpen knows we kind of suck right now.
The first game of the wild card series, we jacked up, I think it was 12 runs. It was 12 runs. And by the time we were done, we were worried that they were going to catch up.
Yeah.
Wow. It was
so like
stressful.
Now you're going to have a team that's better than the Reds.
Yes.
And they, I mean, Schwarber will hit five home runs in a game.
I know.
Like you have to be.
Yeah.
You have to be better than a grand slam away from the Phillies.
Yes.
In the eighth inning.
Yeah. And that was the problem. That's what happens. Yeah. Is we'll jack up a bunch of runs, get to the eighth inning. They'll be down by like five.
And Schwarber will hit a grand slam
and then
with one hand.
They'll load the freaking bases, and then all of a sudden it's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's gonna be wild.
And the Phillies want it real bad because they've been so close.
Oh, so close so many times. Bryce Harper hasn't won a championship.
Yeah, they want to win.
Yeah, because was Schwarber on the 16 Cubs team?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's already won.
Schwarber in 16 got hurt. He broke his ankle in outfield.
Really?
And he was out. And then in the playoff game,
uh-huh.
I think it was against the Giants, because they knocked the Giants and the Dodgers out that year.
Mm-hmm.
Schwarber came back and was a pivotal role in winning those series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
Schwarber's good, man.
Dude, he's dope.
He's really good.
I remember Joe Maddon saying when Schwarber came up, all he said, it was Joe Maddon or the manager before, he goes, all I know is this dude is going, he rakes home runs like crazy. He just hits home runs and hits for power, and like he just keeps doing it.
I was watching I think it was either the All-Star game or the Home Run Derby. Me and Andrew were watching it, and we're just having a good time. And like, I can't remember. But anyway, we're watching something, and we're like rooting for Schwarber. I think it was the Home Run Derby. And we're like, come on, Schwarber. Yeah, this guy can rake. And then he's like hitting the bomb after bomb after bomb. And in the back of my head, all of a sudden, it started creeping. I'm like, oh, we have to play this guy.
Yeah.
And then like my enthusiasm for him started like fading a little bit. I'm like, oh, I'm really scared. Yeah.
He had a four home run game.
Yeah, I know. He's a monster, dude. He's a monster. Bryce Harper is really good.
Bryce Harper is just a veteran.
Yeah.
And he's good play, a good baseball.
And he wants it because he hasn't won anything.
He's aggressive.
He hasn't won anything. He wants it.
I don't know anything about the Phillies pitching. So.
Me neither. I don't know much about the Phillies pitching. I know. Yeah, but we beat them in the regular season. Barely, but we did.
Does anyone listen to this podcast that likes baseball?
I don't know.
Is there any there's a lot of people that listen to this podcast and don't comment and don't say anything. So if you are a baseball fan and you like the Phillies or the Brewers or the Cubs or the Dodgers or whatever.
Or baseball
like,
in general,
yeah,
whatever
put your
team,
team in the comments.
Unless you're an Angels fan, don't want to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
Padre fan, maybe you can chime in, maybe a little bit.
They're going to chime in because they're going to be like, if it wasn't that bad ump call, they would have hit a grand slam and they would have beat. Yeah.
Next year is going to be interesting with the ABS system with the automatic ball strike.
Yeah, because that would have been called the ball right away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, and he would have.
Unless they challenged before that and lost it, because you only get two challenges.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But from what I've seen, because they had it in spring. And they were right a lot of the time. Very rarely were they wrong and lost their challenge. Hitters and pitchers, no.
The Cubs broadcasters brought up a good point the other day. They're going to be like, okay, how fast, if I'm watching TV and they have the square, where can I, because I signal that batter and or pitcher to challenge, and how fast does the challenge have to be? Because it could be literally like, an ear, like it could be anything, like, because they were saying like, how important is that square to the viewer?
Exactly.
And is that, are they going to take that square away? And what we're talking about is in baseball, and when you're watching it on TV, there's a white outline of the strike zone.
Mm-hmm.
We can see that, but because we're watching TV, but if we can see that, we know if it's a strike or a ball pretty easily,
pretty fast. Yeah.
So if someone watching that is designated to tell the batter and or pitcher to challenge.
Yeah, that is an interesting point.
Are they going to now take that square away? And how important is that square to the viewer? Because I like seeing the square.
I do like seeing the square. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Also, from the square is just really a suggestion. It's not really.
Yeah,
because you can't take that same square and put on Mookie Betts, who's 5'9", and then turn around and put it on Aaron Judge, who's 6'7". Yeah. And 6'7".
Frank is hip to the.
I have two teenage daughters.
He's hip to the youth.
I have two teenage daughters, so that was for you guys. Like they would ever listen. I wonder how uncool that is for my kids to go to school and be like, "Yeah, my dad has a podcast." And
they're "This will be cool later on." This will be cool later on.
Yeah, later on, maybe.
Your kids are going to be in their 50s, and you're going to be gone, and they're going to be like. You are going to be on the internet, and they're going to get to go back and listen and watch you.
Oh, hey. Well,
so wave to them right now.
Hi, guys.
Hope everything's working out for you.
If you're listening to me in 50 years and this is still on YouTube, sorry. No. 6'7".
This is going to be so good for him.
Yeah. Anyway. Thank you for coming to the baseball talk portion of the
podcast. Now that you're back, go to the website, buy a drop shirt. Buy a Custom Life shirt. Mm-hmm. Buy a Grinder TV Ty Good Life shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It could be a drinking game. You could wear the Ty Good Life shirt, go somewhere, and be like, tell me what's wrong with this shirt, and I'll buy you a drink. And then most people are like, what is good? Like,
what is Goody?
Goody?
Goody. What is that? How do you, people walk by my hats, the new Good Life hats, and they're like, what's that say?
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's they're like, happened? What's that say? I'm like, it says the Good Life. Uh-huh. And they're like, what's that? I'm all, that's me.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, what's up?
Yeah. And they look at my thing and they go, what's Grinder TV? And I'm like, I'm just a really confused brand right now. Just leave me alone.
I'm dealing with some stuff right now.
I'm slowly starting to dial things in. And by the end of the year, we'll be dialed in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what's also funny, this is just like a funny byproduct, is now like we have Custom Life, the Good Life. Like,
I know. Well, remember when I started this, I looked at you and I go, hey, I need to know if this is going to be a thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like, it's not. It's so just funny because, like, what's funny is, like, there are some people who maybe, like, not confuse our brands, but definitely, like, mesh the two together, you know? Now it's going to make it even more, like, they're both life. They're both, like, who's what around here?
Yeah.
Again, we're just figuring stuff out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't even know who we are or what we're doing.
No. Just buy shirts and then
buy shirts.
Buy shirts so we could keep building trucks.
Yes.
Keep paying Panda. Like the money goes.
That's it.
The money goes from you guys.
Yeah, I was gonna say
filters through us
and then straight to Panda.
And then most of that goes to Panda.
Yeah. Panda seems to be the real kingpin of this whole operation.
He hooks us up, so he's really kind of like
It all works out.
You know what I mean. He's like,
we all don't know what we're doing.
No. We're like, hey Panda, here's 10 T-shirts. Will you body drop our truck?
This discount? Should be fine.
Yeah, this is like this. This
slide it across the table
like you're buying a car.
Yeah, that's for you, buddy.
He's like, thanks.
Sure, no problem. All right,
all right.
We'll see you guys later.